This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness. This is the show where we break down health and fitness 10 minutes at a time. How do you eat an elephant, Brittany?
I guess one bite at a time.
That's
right. Probably the safest way.
And that's how we treat health and fitness here. So we try to keep it simple and we try to have fun as well. So we really mix in some awful jokes. We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness. That's spelled out T-E-N. We didn't get too cute with the number 10 there.
Nope.
And also, we're trying to get as involved in the Springs as possible. We have a new fitness group here. It's called the Springs, Colorado Springs Fitness Group, where people can come to connect. All fitness-minded folks, we can share our progress with each other, ask questions. In the group, there are some fantastic trainers and dietitians. Actually, Suzanne Himka, who is now the official Under 10 Fitness dietitian, is in there.
That's great.
Yeah, so you can ask her some questions.
People like
if you...
Suzanne, and there are a lot of professionals on that group.
Yeah, and she just, we saw her on TV in the new Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge series. So they were in the season premiere. So I wonder if we'll see them in any of the upcoming episodes.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're a lot of fun. Kicking butt here. Also, we have two pairs of tickets to give away for Fitness on the Rocks. This is in Morrison, Colorado at Red Rocks Amphitheater. And it's a whole fitness event. They've got everything from yoga to Pilates. There's kickboxing, CrossFit. There's a water slide. There's an obstacle course. And it's just a day of fun. So that is Saturday, July 9th. Look at your calendar. And if you can go and you want to go, hit us up on the Facebook page and just say, I want to go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that easy?
Tickets. That easy.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And Brittany, you are back. You missed the last episode because you were at your bachelorette party. And I told everybody where you were. I told
them
that you were in Kansas looking at the world's largest ball of yarn. So
yeah,
how was it?
That's exactly what I was doing. It was great.
You had some fun with the ladies and your mom was at your bachelorette party?
It was, yeah. We actually went up to Denver and had some ladies' time. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was
did
nice.
Some dancing and got to connect there before you lock it up and never go anywhere again.
Right?
Well, we have some chuckles here. Thank you for laughing at my horrible jokes, guys. In the studio now, we have Jeff, Kaylee, and Todd of the Phoenix Group, and we want to know what the Phoenix Group is. So I'm going to pick on one of you guys to kind of describe the Phoenix Group. And I think, Todd, you'd probably be good for that because you are the chapter manager here.
Yep. Phoenix Multisport is a sober community for an active lifestyle. So what that means is that we have a bunch of events throughout the week. Most of them are physical in nature that are free. If you're in recovery from substance abuse, you have 48 hours clean and sober, and you're committed to a sober lifestyle, you come out and do them. And we do everything as high-paced as rock climbing, strength training, and as laid-back as art night and family dinners. So kind of everything in between. We do mountain bike rides, yoga, everything is beginner accessible. It's all levels, so you can come in. We have all the gear. We have all the instruction. And we just are kind of introducing people to a new healthy alternative.
That's really cool.
It's a great resource, very unique. And you did say you have to be at least 48 hours sober.
Yeah, for safety reasons, you have to be at least 48 hours clean and sober. And then the big piece is the commitment to a sober lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, not everybody that comes to Phoenix is in recovery from substance abuse. We do have a small percentage that just choose to, for whatever reason, maybe alcoholism runs in their family or something like that. Or maybe they're a supporting loved one. Maybe they're married to somebody who's in recovery from substance abuse. And so they just live a sober lifestyle to support their loved one that come. But pretty much everybody there is, or most of the people there are in recovery. And so it's just really setting up that peer-to-peer support model of I'm sober, you're sober, I know how to support you in this, and let's do some fitness together.
What do you think it is about fitness that helps so much with the recovery process? Jeff, do you want to maybe try to, just from your own perspective, what was it that...
I think for me, I when I was drinking and using, really that was my life. I didn't have much else. And it filled, everything 24 hours a day, pretty much. I needed something to fill that void. The physical part of it, for me, I think, I'm sure there has something to do with endorphins and all that, and, you know, scientific stuff that I don't understand, but it really makes me feel good. And Phoenix Multisport, it's a bunch of like-minded people who are trying to maintain sobriety, achieve and maintain sobriety. And the physical aspect of it, you know, is just, it makes you feel good when you accomplish something. I had never rock climbed before I met Phoenix, before I came to Phoenix Multisport. The first time I got on a wall, I was blown away. I mean, it just, you know, it's kind of like the struggles with addiction. You know, here's this mountain you got to climb. And when you get to the top, you just feel so good, you know. So it's overcoming obstacles. It's fellowship, camaraderie. It's just a great it's a great organization.
And it's that safe place where you don't have to worry about after the workout that somebody's going to invite you to go back to the bar to have a beer.
Right, right. Correct.
So, Kaylee, how are you involved with the organization?
So I spend a lot of my time volunteering with climbing. Todd's my husband, so I get to go to every event and get to know all the team members pretty intimately and learn their stories. And for me, Phoenix has really filled a big void that was left during my drinking and using, where I was so lonely and so desperate for some kind of conversation with people that felt and thought the way that I did. And getting to do that through sports was exactly what I needed. I was a competitive gymnast growing up, and once that was gone and away, you know, I had no idea where to channel all of this energy that I had. And getting to do that with people who also understand my struggles and what my big goals in life are and identify with those and be able to help me get support and getting that is a big blessing.
Todd, how did you get involved with it, and how did you become the chapter manager?
Well, my journey with Phoenix started, I was in a drug court here in Colorado Springs. I had gotten a couple of felony charges, and they had given me an alternative to going to prison, was to go through the drug court program. And the drug court magistrate recommended I go to Phoenix. And up to that point, I'd been sitting at my house reading a bunch of books on recovery and just kind of isolating, and I was not thrilled about life and my prospects. And I thought, well, you know, it's got to be better than sitting at home. So I went out and tried it out. I wasn't really that interested in rock climbing, but it was the only event that Phoenix had back then. So I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. And I absolutely loved it. And more than anything, people were really excited that I was there. They were really happy to see me. And it'd been a long time since I'd walked into a room where people were happy to see me. You know, I was kind of just a burnout junkie. And I started climbing. I loved it. And then I started volunteering. And about a year after I got involved, they asked me if I wanted to come work as an instructor. I started working as an instructor, got my climbing wall certification, got my single pitch instructor certification for outdoor. And then later on, became a chapter manager. So, you know, it's just, it's been a long journey. I've been with them now for, well, it'll be 5 years in August. I've been working for them, and I've been a part of Phoenix for six. So
I checked out the Phoenix group probably around 2010, and I've got a little bit of a past, and I'm going to tell that in the next segment. But right now, we just want to learn more about the Phoenix group. Brittany, you like to do some climbing, don't you?
About halfway up the wall.
It's a good start.
Well, I mean,
the rest is just the other half. So if you just go up, down, and then up again.
Right, then I've accomplished pretty much the same distance, right?
So where do you guys get funding? How does this all come together?
Lots of grants, donations. We do have a SAMHSA grant, which is a big federal grant for funding for substance abuse-related issues. That'll actually end in August. We have quite a few other private donors, smaller grants that we get, lots of different supporters. Of course, on our website, it recommends to the team members that they can donate $50 twice a year, and we do a big campaign for that once a year. But, of course, it's never brought up or pressured because most of our team members don't have the funds to come. That's part of the reason why free programming is so key for them. Mm. And lots of fundraising, you know. The support of the community is really the biggest piece.
Fitness isn't always readily accessible, especially when you're talking about personal training or having some type of organization to it. And, you know, I can only speak from what I know. And a lot of times you'll see somebody who might be struggling from addiction. They don't always have the funds to do that. So obviously fundraising is a big part of what you do, and making it free and accessible to somebody is paramount of what you guys are doing. So that's fantastic. And Jeff, what is What have you seen as far as like members and the kind of community that is being created with the Phoenix Group?
Well, as Todd had mentioned before, when he first showed up, as with me, people were excited to see me. You know, they were very welcoming. People I'd never met. They didn't know my past. They didn't know anything about me, but they were super excited for me to be there. And it continues. I mean, one of the things I love about Phoenix the most is the fellowship of it. You know, the TFR dinners, which is the Together Families Recover, getting a big group of people together and just, you know, supporting one another, welcoming the newcomers that come in. I felt so welcome when I first got there that I love it when somebody new comes in, and I want to be the first one there to reach out my hand and say, you know, welcome, this is a great place to be, you know, and it's just a really, just a loving, caring a place to be, and it's safe, it's awesome.
And we've got one more question before we kick it to break. So, Kaylee, I'll ask you, you guys got, you described like five or six different ways to get active. What's mm-hmm. your favorite, whether it be yoga, CrossFit,
that's a tough question. I'm very mood-driven, you know, I don't know. Maybe Brittany identifies.
It might be a female thing,
right? But if I'm in the place where I want to push myself and I really want to like get the endorphins pumping, I go for CrossFit. If I'm wanting to connect and learn how to build trust with people and just continue to feed that emotional side of me, I want to be in rock climbing. If I need some time to just decompress, yoga is where I'm at. So it just kind of depends, but. My heart's definitely in ice climbing, which is kind of tricky. I only have one season to do so.
Well, that's a great answer. A little bit of everything. It matters what kind of mood you're in. Well, that's great. We're going to wrap it up here. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, if it's okay, we'll get a little personal and dive a little bit deeper into how fitness really helped all of us here. This is Under 10 Fitness. We'll be right back.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
Welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. My name is Drew Smith, joined with my beautiful fiance and co-host Brittany Meyer. We're still getting married?
Thank you. Yes, Drew.
Oh, good. I have to ask that every time. And I get it on, I only ask you when we're on air. So that it is recorded, so that I can go back and prove that you said yes to this whole thing.
As of today, we are still getting married.
Well, that's fantastic. And we are talking to the folks from Phoenix, the Phoenix Multisport Group. In here we have Todd, his wife Kaylee, and Jeff. Welcome into the studio. And if it's all right, I'd like to kind of go into our past a little bit and open that box, because I think it's important to know the power of fitness and what it can do to change our realities and what we can achieve. So if there's anybody who really wants to start, you can go ahead. Otherwise, I'll kick it off. And I'm going to kick it off. So I'm going to just kind of, and I don't have to give the full in-depth history, but just a little overview of what used to be, what is, and then what could be. So I started getting in trouble before I even turned 21. When I was 20, I partied a little too crazy one night, and I got pulled over for speeding, drank too much before. And so I got my first DUI when I was underage, and I was terrified, and I quit drinking altogether. And, of course, you know, with that comes a court date. You lose your license for a year, and you got to do community service. And it was pretty light back then in 2005 as far as the rules and regulations and penalties for getting a DUI. And then it was, 2007, I remember I started drinking pretty heavily again, and I got in an argument with my girlfriend at the time. Sorry, Brittany, I did date others. And the cops were called. I actually called the cops, and it's kind of a rule here in Colorado that if the cops get called to a domestic dispute, somebody's going to jail. And I was drunk, more drunk. So I ended up going to jail for that, and I got charged with a domestic violence, otherwise known as harassment, class 3, just for, getting in an argument and yelling. There was no physical damage. I didn't hit anybody or anything. But that kind of, it scarred me a little bit. And with that, 36 weeks of anger management classes, and I quit drinking for a while again. And then I got right back into drinking as soon as I don't have to show up to those classes anymore. There's no accountability to that. And in 2009 was the worst time that I ever was drinking. I would drink till I blacked out, five nights a week and just wake up not knowing what was going on, what I did the night before. And that's, it was a cycle. And I repeated that over and over again. And I woke up at my parents' house in a daze, and I had vague memories of going to the hospital, getting my blood taken, and then walking home from the hospital. So apparently that night I got so blackout drunk, I got pulled over. The cops took me down to the hospital, took my blood, and then they released me. I ended up getting, they got me in a cab, is what I found out later reading the police reports and talking to people. The cops put me in a cab. They had my ID. They gave it to the cab driver, so they got me close to my house. I must have got confused because I ended up going to my neighbor's house, my parents' neighbor's house, and knocking on their door. And then the cops got called again that same night. And then when the cops were outside, my parents saw the lights and they came out and they got me. So I didn't go back to jail again that night. And I spent the next 2 days there kind of recovering. I blew a .386, which everybody in this room knows that's really high. People die at .4. That is a lot of alcohol in the system. And from there, I started the recovery process. I didn't know what to do with myself. I moved back in with my parents. I quit my job that I was currently at, and I started fresh. That's when I found the gym. And I started working out at 24-Hour Fitness, and I would even drink a little bit there, too. I remember one time I took those little vodka shooters, and I went into the locker room, and I shot one of those. And then I went back out and finished my bench press. And then over the cycle, I got a personal trainer. And I got more and more into health and fitness, and I started learning how to manipulate my body and get good at these movements. And over time, the alcohol just went away. And of course, during this whole time, I'm attending alcohol classes for the DUI, lost my license for 2 years. And with that, it was a pretty intensive outpatient program. I had to go 5 times a week to the alcohol therapy classes for the first first 30 days. And then I had to spend 42 days in jail and then an ankle monitor after that. So it was pretty intense. So, but the gym was kind of along for the ride. And when I started to see the changes in my body, I realized, well, I can change other things too. So I joined my mom and we started to grow a business. So now, current day, I'm engaged to a beautiful woman.
Hello.
I own 2 businesses and I don't drink. So life is good. It's on the up and up. And I really kind of blame that on the gym. The gym really, really had that effect on me, really helped me change everything. So with that being said, that's kind of my story. And I glazed over some of the more boring detail. But would anybody else like to share that we're in the mood here?
Yeah, I'll go. So I have a similar story. I actually have 3 DUIs. I won't go into all the details of those because those are boring. I started drinking as a teenager. I come from a long line of alcoholics and drug addicts in my family. The first time I ever drank alcohol, it made me feel like I fit in. That's what it did for me. And I love that because I felt awkward before that. And like I wasn't good enough or I wasn't, fit enough or everything, but alcohol gave me that, that feeling like, I'm like the coolest kid in the room. And that's what I really wanted to be. So it seemed like the more alcohol I drank, the cooler I got to me. I'm sure there's many people that didn't think that, I did that for, 15, 20 years, drinking. I was a functional alcoholic. I could go to work. I held jobs. But as soon as I got off work until I passed out, I was drinking. Finally I realized after many stints in jail and never really accomplishing anything and getting in trouble with the law, having the DUIs, I finally decided that, okay, I'm done with this. I want to stop. I went through some treatment centers, and the periods of my adult life where I was sober, I had a gym membership, I was on my mountain bike a lot, but that never lasted. It was just me and in the gym or me and the bike. And I didn't have a lot of friends that did that because all my friends were still drinking and using drugs, or my so-called friends. So, excuse me. You know, I actually in August of 2011, I was at my wit's end. I didn't want to live as a drunk and a junkie, but I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know what else to do. And I was ready to end my life. Thankfully, there were some members of my family who said, you know, give us one chance to help you. We've never tried to help you. We've only, argued about your alcoholism and your drug addiction. So let us try and help you one time. So they sent me here to Colorado. My mom knew I loved the outdoors. She knew I loved being physical. She found a treatment center here in Cascade, Colorado. I went to that. That's where I found out about Phoenix. There was a brochure about Phoenix Multisport in that treatment center. When I got out, I decided to stay in a sober house here in Colorado Springs and give it, you know, I was going to give it like 6 months. You know, we'll see what it's like. I don't know, you know. I missed home a lot because that's, you know, I'm from Seattle. I was born and raised there. I got out and I started exploring Colorado. Hiking is my favorite outdoor activity. Just love to explore nature. And I started doing that. A friend of mine who was in the sober house with me was going to this indoor climbing gym twice a week. And he said, you should come with me. You know, it's free to you if you're sober. Come on, you know, and check it out. I found Phoenix Multisport that way. And I, you know, the physical aspect of just climbing a wall or going on the hikes with these people, mountain biking, you know, getting the adrenaline rush, excuse me, getting an adrenaline rush was almost like a drug. You know, it was almost like the drugs and alcohol that I was using. And I liked it. You know, I'm a true alcoholic and a drug addict. I have addictions. I'm probably addicted to physical fitness, you know, but that's okay because it's, you know, much better than the alternative. So that's kind of my story.
Is climbing your favorite of the sports or?
It's probably because Phoenix Multisport doesn't do a lot of hikes. If they hiked more, that would probably be it because I just love being out in nature and exploring. But absolutely, climbing is really a kick in the pants. It's so much fun.
Well, Jeff, thank you for sharing. That's a great story. I'm glad that it's behind you now.
Right, me too.
Yeah, so I'm Todd, and yeah, my story, I started drinking and using when I was 18. I had a short stint with alcohol and then went on right on to the harder stuff, started doing methamphetamines, copious amounts of them. You know, but really my favorite drink was the next one. My favorite drug was more. I was pretty, you know, equal opportunity drug user. And it really plagued me. I'd have short stints of sobriety, or maybe I'd quit using drugs, but I'd start drinking really heavy, or I'd quit drinking, then I'd start picking up with the drugs again. And I could never really stay sober. In 2010, I got arrested, not once, but three times for felony drug possession. In quick succession. And every time I get out of jail, first two times I got out of jail before I ever made it past the waiting area, I get bonded out. And it really didn't sink in. The last time I got arrested, I didn't get bailed out right away. And I spent a little time in jail and had enough time to kind of sober up and kind of look at where my life was going and what had happened. And the fact that I had, you know, lost a home, didn't have custody of my kid anymore, didn't have, you know, just lost all my career. And I remember sitting there in jail thinking, man, you used to have people that would be, you know, here to bail you out that really cared about you. But you've kind of pushed all those people away. So it's kind of one of those dark, you know, come to reality moments. And I got out of jail and went to drug court. And like I shared earlier, and that was really intensive, Drew, kind of like what you went through, only very similar. We had meet with a judge once a week. We had group therapy. We had UAs and alcohol tests and everything. And in that meantime, like I said, I got involved with Phoenix Multisport. And for me, the fitness aspect has just been the accomplishment of things. I mean, it had been a long time since I'd had a win of any kind. And I remember the first time I got to the top of that wall, I was like, wow, I just had a win. You know, that's amazing. You know, and I had a job, and that was 8 hours a day. I slept, that was 8 hours a day. And then I had another 8 hours a day that I had to fill with something. And I think that if you talk to most people that have relapsed, probably that time when they relapsed was during that 8 hours, probably wasn't at work, obviously wasn't when they were sleeping. It's in that free time. And so to have something to fill that free time was a big thing too. I love the physical fitness of it. I think rock climbing is my favorite all-time event, but I think coaching strength training is my favorite. You know, just seeing people overcome those things. I love to coach strength training. So, yeah, it's been a huge role, and a big thing with Phoenix Multisport is that community, that group of people around you that know what you've been through, know where you've been. They're there to kind of be strong for you when you're weak. I mean, it's an amazing team. We all have something to learn from each other. So yeah, it's been a big physical fitness, and then just the community have been the two biggest parts for me.
My name's Kaylee. When I first got sober, I was really intimidated by all these stories of people who had DUIs and felonies, and I'd never had any legal trouble. You know, I'd never lost a house, I never defaulted on a credit card, and I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I don't belong. You know, maybe I'm not a real alcoholic. Maybe I was just going through a stint. My story started, I was a competitive gymnast, like I mentioned before, and due to some injuries, I stopped when I was 14. And from there, this void of, like, I don't have a team, I don't have comrades, I don't fit in. And I was really studious and wore my leotards to school, and people thought it was really weird, and they didn't want to hang out with me. And so this desperation for interaction, this, like, loneliness just filled me. And I had a friend in high school came up to me one day, said, here, why don't you try this? It'll make doing nothing feel amazing. And since I had no coping skills and I had no idea what I was getting into, I jumped right in. So I, my progression in drug and alcohol was really quick. My first drink was when I was 10, smoked weed for a day, and then started doing heroin the next day.
Wow.
So I was all in. And I remember my friends and everyone who knew me was like, whoa, maybe you need to slow down. And I was like, something in me was ignited. And I had this new life. I had all these friends. And I was smart. So they were, like, giving me drugs to do their paperwork for them for school. And it was like I found my niche. And here I am. I'm going to make a business out of it, right? Because, like, what else would I do? And it only worked for so long until that loneliness and that desperation set back in, you know, and friends started to die and friends started to go to jail. And here I am, 16 years old, going, what is happening? You know, my life is not where I thought it was going to be. Went to college and I was like, okay, I'm going to really get everything figured out. I remember my first night in my dorm room out in Durango. I'm like as far away from my parents because obviously I have to be mad at them for some reason. And I'm out there and I'm alone in the world again. And I'm in a school where I don't know anybody. And the few people that I do know in my dorm are doing what I was doing. And I was right back to it. It was one day where I thought maybe I'd get my feet under me again and I'd start living the life that I thought I was going to have. You know, I was going to be this doctor by the time I was 21, right? And that quickly foiled. And I came back home and I was like living with my parents again. I was like, okay, this is it. I'm really, really, truly going to do this. And my boyfriend was put in jail. So I was like, okay, I don't have to deal with him anymore. I have all this great opportunity. And it didn't last. You know, each time that I thought that I was going to do this alone and I was going to get sober and I was going to put my life back together, it just didn't work alone. And on my 19th birthday, my parents gave me the best gift I've ever been given, and they sent me to treatment. And I was in sober college out in California for 9 months. So it was an inpatient treatment center where I worked with a therapist day in and day out. I had group therapy. I was taken to a bunch of the AA meetings and things like that and was really integrated into sobriety, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I was 19. I was like, I don't have felonies. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just crazy. And the reality was, is in treatment, more friends died. Like, people weren't getting this, and they weren't staying sober. And I got to be one of the lucky ones who had a moment of clarity where I could see that, like, I drank and I used like those people. And if I didn't get this and I didn't stay sober, then I was probably going to die. And so I started reaching out, and I got serious about my sobriety, and I really got integrated into the physical fitness program in my treatment center because we were required to work out. And I got really into that, and then I left treatment, and I came back to Colorado, where I'm a native, and I met Todd. And he kind of told me about Phoenix, but he didn't really want me to come because he wanted to be able to date me, which, thank gosh, because now I'm his wife, and it's amazing. But after some time being around the people with Phoenix and getting to rock climb and hike and be a part of triathlons and volunteer and get to be part of this amazing community where people knew my story and knew how serious my problem was and like how intense it is and how I really do need to be kept away from drugs and alcohol. And they didn't think less of me for not having the same bottom. You know, mine was of an emotional variety of losing my family. I wasn't, you know, in a jail cell or in a gutter, you know. I grew up in the Broadmoor area, and that was my story, and they didn't think less of me for that. And they let me be a part of it, and they helped me learn how to grow up. Getting sober at 19, I had a lot more than just getting sober to do. Like, I had to become an adult, too. And I couldn't have been more lucky to be in such an amazing environment with such accomplished people who are truly, truly brilliant. And thank God they're sober because they get to be part of my life today. So,
well, if there's one thing that I've learned in life, it's that everything is relative. And it doesn't matter if you come from a rich, wealthy family where you have everything or from nothing. It sucks no matter what you're going through. So it all goes back to you. And that's what it's ultimately about. It's you and changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's take a break here. We'll shake it off, and then we'll jump back in, maybe give some fitness tips and tricks and talk more about the fitness aspect of it and how it builds confidence and community here. You're listening to Under 10 Fitness. We'll be right back. Oh, hi, Brittany. I didn't know you were allowed in the men's locker room.
Whoops.
You sneak in any way you want, you sneaky little snake. So, you have been joining me on this little journey that we are doing, a bodybuilding cycle. How's it going for you?
It's going really well, actually. It's such an easy program to follow because we know exactly what workouts we're doing. We know exactly what we're eating. And there's no guessing.
Everything is mapped out for us. Vicki Morgan is our trainer and coach, and she has really put together a very comprehensive plan for us. Workouts, meal plans, philosophy. If we screw this up, we've only got one person to blame.
Drew.
Our cat.
Oh.
No, of course, ourselves, right? And it's just so easy and so simple. Vicki Morgan is one of the premier personal trainers, powerlifting, and bodybuilding coaches here in Colorado Springs, and she's so good at what she does. Mm-hmm. She just realizes that people need a little bit of help, and she knows how to help everybody in their own little ways. And how's it been so far? Have you noticed any changes in your body?
Yeah, actually, in the last week, I have lost 5 pounds, and I'm sure that my clothes fit better. But I've definitely seen a lot of changes just within the week.
Oh, yeah. It's so amazing that I've lost, like, so at the high end, I was weighing about 200 pounds. And then during the first week of training, well, the first 10 days, I got down to 192.
Wow.
And, of course, there's a little bit of water weight in there, but I burned quite a bit of fat, and it really hasn't been that hard.
Not really.
So
it's taken a lot of work. I mean, we're doing a lot of work. It's not easy, but
Vicki Morgan,
simple.
She really makes it easy. If you want to check her out, you can find her at victoryfitnessteam.com. Again, that's victoryfitnessteam.com. And of course, if you want to find out more about her, you can find her on our website. That is under10fitness.com/Vicki, V-I-C-K-I. All the links there make it easy to find her. If you're looking to get some coaching, and she does coaching here in Colorado Springs, but she also does online coaching. So no matter where you are, you can get in great shape with the help of Vicki Morgan. So go check her out. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. This is where we break down health and fitness 10 minutes at a time. If you just heard the last segment, it was kind of like a sit-down meeting or something. Yeah, we just had a good time sharing our feelings. I felt like I was back in school and the teacher had called on me to tell something. So joined by my beautiful co-host, Brittany Meyer.
Well, thank you.
What is the last workout you did, Brittany?
Let's see. Worked out on Friday. What did we do? I think we did a lot of chest? Or no, we did buys and tries on Friday.
That's right. Yeah. Buys for the guys.
Buys for the guys.
And we'll go around the room. So what was our last workout here in the gym, Todd?
So Kaylee and I was the same. We did 8 Atlas Stone squats, walked about 20 yards with an Atlas Stone, and then jumped over the boxes, or pile boxes 8 times. as many rounds as we possibly could in 8 minutes. It was awful.
How heavy, how big was that Atlas, though?
Mine was 100 pounds.
Wow.
Mine was 50.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we played with intense. Atlas stones before. They're fun.
Yeah.
Get your toes out of the way.
Right.
Get your toes moving.
I heard that you guys also put in a mailbox and did some digging. So that would probably work out, too.
Yes, that was today.
Jeff, did you do any hiking recently?
Well, I was outside rock climbing yesterday. Inside the gym, the last workout I did was, I think, strength and conditioning on Wednesday. A bunch of push-ups and box jumps. That's all I remember.
Well, and we did the incline together just
the
other
day. The incline on Friday, yeah.
So. Wow.
Oh, you guys are gluttons for pain. Now, Phoenix Multisport, you guys do a lot of rock climbing. Do you do outdoor rock climbing here?
We do. Actually, we just got back from Moab. All three of us are on the Moab multi-sport trip. We go out there every year, and that's our biggest inter-chapter trip of the year. We have a chapter in Boston. We have one in Orange County, California, Boulder, and Denver. They all come out for that. And so we went out there, and we do mountain biking, hiking, outdoor climbing, sunrise yoga, all kinds of fun stuff. And then we have a couple of outdoor climbing events throughout the year that are Phoenix, where the Phoenix instructors are setting up ropes and doing typical guiding type things. But the Colorado Springs community is very active rock climbers. They get out on their own all the time. Most of them own all their own gear, and they just go do their own thing, and it's super fun. So,
how many people would you guess were at that event or that meetup?
About 160.
Wow.
And that's just from the Springs, or is that from everywhere?
That's from everywhere. There's, and I don't know the exact numbers, but it was right around there, 160, 180, somewhere in there. Like,
nice.
That's cool.
And then what's the community like? Did you guys just kind of go out and have fun and get, you know, your exercise all day and then sit around a campfire at night? Or?
Yeah, exactly. We have a great big group site, a Gold Bar Campground. There was 87 tents, we counted, set up there, and it was pretty awesome sea of tents. And then, then there's different events that people have signed up throughout the week for. And then some people, you know, they're very self-sufficient. They have their own mountain bike, and they know the trail systems. They have their own climbing gear, and they're competent climbers, and they'll just go off and do their own thing. And then we also have the events that everybody kind of does together. And then in the evening, we eat together, round up. The last night, we have a big gratitude meeting around the fire. We just kind of talk about what we're grateful for in life. And it's just a really cool time.
Yeah, it's good. Lots of fun.
We got to get out there, Brittany. That sounds like something we'd be into.
I would totally be into that. Yeah. I don't know if I would be invited, but if I'm invited, I would love to come.
Well, who would be invited to something like this?
Anybody with 48 hours clean and sober, a commitment to a sober lifestyle. And then that is one of the few trips that we charge for. It's $50 a day, which is half what it costs Phoenix. We pay for half. The team member pays for half. We have scholarships available. Yeah, and if you're coming out to support your fiance, then you'd be more than welcome.
All right. Yeah. Sounds fun.
And that's once a year, so you just had it.
Right.
So it wouldn't be until next year, so we'd be married by then.
Right?
Maybe. You'll have to check in with me the next podcast.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We'll work on that. Now, you've grown it a lot, because when I was struggling with alcohol, I did find the Phoenix group. You guys were being very active in making sure that people in recovery knew that you existed and what you had to offer. And back then you only offered cycling and rock climbing, but since you've really grown.
Yeah. Now we have events 7 days a week. And we have, we have rock climbing, mountain bike rides, strength training, Olympic lifting and fundamental movements, yoga, art night, running program. And the run practice is like a run practice. We don't just go out and run. We do like sprint drills and interval training.
Stairs,
lots of stairs.
Jeff remembers the stairs.
There's the sandbags, yes.
And everything in between. So did I get all the events, guys?
Yeah, I think so. TFR, physical.
Yeah, and then the family dinners. So I felt the physical events, you know, I think those are all the ones we do.
Now, do you have an actual location?
We do. We're at 216 West Colorado, which is underneath the Colorado Bridge, not too far from America the Beautiful Park. So everything except for rock climbing originates there. We meet. You'll meet there even if you're going on a mountain bike ride. We have a fleet of mountain bikes there. You can borrow one if you need to, and you meet down there. The running program meets there, and then we run from there. We're really fortunate to have a trail system right next to us. And then we have all of our strength training equipment down there, Olympic bars, all that good stuff. So.
Nice. Now, do you have set class times?
We do. We Wednesdays and Friday nights is our strength training classes. One's at 5:30 Wednesday night. The other one's at 6 o'clock on Friday night. And then 7 o'clock is Olympic lifting and fundamental movements on Friday night. And we have a full calendar of events at phoenixmultisport.org. And you can look at everything that we have there and the start times.
Nice. Making it real easy. Now, I heard a rumor that you got certified in Kids CrossFit.
I did. I got a certification in Kids CrossFit. We are currently, there's, I don't know if you guys had heard about this, but there's going to be a sober high school in Colorado Springs.
Oh, that's great.
For people that are in recovery, which is really exciting. And we'll probably are going to be doing their physical fitness classes. So we thought it was a great opportunity to do that. We also work with some treatment centers, and then we also have a family program. So it just seemed like a natural fit to do the Kids CrossFit cert.
That blew me away. You've got a sober high school. Now, what happens to make a need for that? Now, are there kids drinking? Do they come from families of that? How did you realize that that's something we needed?
Well, it wasn't my realization. When I say we, it's Colorado Springs, not Phoenix Multisport starting it. But in Colorado Springs, yeah, there's just a huge need. A lot of kids are getting into drugs younger and younger. You know, my wife Kaylee here, like she said, were you 16?
Her first drink was at 10, you said, right?
First drink was 10 and then started using drugs right before I turned 16. Mm-hmm.
So you know, and then if they get sober, then they go right back to the same high school that they were at, that they were drinking and using with all their buddies, their chances of staying sober aren't very good. So this is going to be kind of a nice environment for them to go in where other people are trying to stay sober too.
Got it. Yeah. That's a great program. Really help you get out of that lifestyle, because once you're in it, it really gets complicated.
Yep.
And going back to that a little bit, so, you know, once you get the DUI, you've got to do these classes, and you said you needed a win,
right,
Todd, is how you put it. You get a lot of wins when you're working out.
You do. Those measurable successes.
Yeah.
You know, that you can, whether it's rock climbing, you're getting to the top of the wall, climbing a harder route than you've ever climbed before. With strength training, you know, if you're lifting a little bit more, getting your workout done a little faster. You know, and sometimes for people, it's really as basic as being able to do one really good air squat. Mm-hmm. And that's a starting point. And that's awesome. You know, and there's always successes to celebrate.
Now, Kaylee, could you talk about, because I think that this is, we'll all experience this when we start working out, that confidence boost and what comes from that. What happened to you when you started working out and realizing the power that you had with fitness?
Absolutely. That was a huge piece for me. It's coming from a gymnastics background. It was this really powerful little force. And then in my using, you know, my muscles atrophied. I became, you know, I have a lot of back injuries. So I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to hike. I'm never going to be able to run. I'm never going to be able to climb. Like I felt like there was something seriously wrong with me. You know, aside from the quote unquote moral issue that I thought I had, now I have a physical issue too. And coming to Phoenix and just starting with one really good air squat and learning that my back does have the capability to do that despite its injuries, and I do have the ability to recreate muscles that atrophied, really brought that to light that I'm, you know, I'm not a lost cause, you know, and I'm really glad that they didn't give up hope on me, because, you know, now I'm lifting more than I ever have in my life, or I'm running farther, and I'm just feeling better. Like I feel like I have a purpose. I'm driven.
We need something like a big monument of like a squat rack or something that we can all pray to. You know, the good old squat rack. So,
the
Jeff,
church or gym.
How important is it to kind of cut ties, because you moved from Seattle,
correct,
back here, and you had to cut those ties. How important is that in the recovery process and changing that lifestyle?
For me, it was instrumental. I mean, I could not have, there's a reason I haven't moved back to Seattle. I mean, I tried to stay sober in Seattle and I couldn't, because I still had that's all I knew, all my friends there. I didn't have any sober friends there because I was not sober. So, it was huge. I came out here, and that is that's one of the biggest things that Phoenix Multisport has given me, is not just the love of the physical fitness, but this great community of, you know, I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship. I just didn't know how. I had never had one. And so because I'm mixing with new people, male and female, you know, who support me, I'm learning how to be a friend. Yeah. You know, how to have friends. It's huge. And, You know, I would love to see a Phoenix Multisport in Seattle, but until they get one, I probably won't go back.
Yeah.
They don't have mountains like Pikes Peak in Seattle, do they?
We have Mount Rainier, which is as tall, but it starts at sea level, so it looks quite massive.
Yeah.
it's actually Seattle and Colorado Springs are very – or Colorado are very similar. Lots of mountains, lots of rivers. There's more water in Seattle, but it's really similar.
Oh, well, that's why I don't talk geography on the show. I was trying to make an argument for Colorado or Seattle, and no, it's not going to work on that front.
You got more sun here, so okay. You win.
So thanks for helping me out. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can talk out workout split. You know, how often you work out, and then any diet tips and things that you have on that front. So we'll take a quick break here on Under 10 Fitness. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. My name is Drew Smith, and we are talking about how fitness is so powerful that it can change our lives and really pull us out of even a life of addiction and just turn everything around in a positive direction. We have the Phoenix Multisport Group. We've got a panel of judges, I want to say, here, all looking at me. Now, we want to talk about, like, workouts. Let's get down and dirty into an actual workout split and what it looks like for you guys and kind of what you might, you know, recommend to somebody who might just be starting out. So, Todd, if we could start with you, what does your typical workout week look like?
My typical workout week is pretty intense. I coach a lot of different events. So what I try to do is I just remember it's really important is my rest days. So, you know, about every 4 days I have to have a rest day. I don't work a regular pattern. You know, usually Mondays I have a 7 a.m. workout, which is a mixture of cardio and strength. I try not to neglect anything. When I get too cardio-centric, then I stop lifting in the strength area. Tuesdays is running for me. Wednesday, I usually do something a long cardio burn like the incline. Thursday, yoga and recoup a little bit. And a yoga class was restorative, so I kind of consider it a rest day. And then Friday, I'm back to the strength training again, which will be kind of a mixture of a cardio and strength workout. And then on the weekends, I try to get out and climb. So,
yeah, you're a little unique in the fact that you run a lot of these classes. You're very involved in it.
Right.
So there's always an opportunity for you to, you know, burn those muscles.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it's a lot of coaching. Coaching takes a lot of work, too. Even when I'm not working out and I'm just coaching, I'm running around, checking technique, modeling behaviors and different things like that. It can get exhausting. So
now your wife, Kaylee, do you just work side by side? All day, every day?
Most of the time. I have a little bit more restrictive of a work schedule, so I don't get to make the 7 a.m. workouts, unfortunately. That would probably be my favorite. So typically, Mondays, I'm indoor rock climbing if I'm not instructing. Tuesdays, I don't run because I commit my time to school. On Wednesdays, I'm doing CrossFit. Thursdays, I'm doing restorative yoga. Friday, I'm doing CrossFit. And then on the weekends, I'm either doing yard work, which I feel like is worse than CrossFit sometimes, or in climbing. But for me, part of what makes the working out better is having some excitement around it. So I like to work out with people. I never really do a workout alone. I enjoy the camaraderie and the buzz.
Yeah.
Group fitness is a huge trend now, and people stick in it longer than ever because it's that community.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your community depending on you. You know, if you don't show up, you'll let them down. They'll have to do those box jumps by themselves. And Jeff, what's a typical workout week look like?
I'm trying to stay active every day of the week. Sundays, maybe if I took a rest day, that would be my rest day, but hopefully I'm out rock climbing somewhere. Monday, I do indoor rock climbing. I do have to work, unfortunately. So Monday evenings, I rock climb. Tuesdays, I try to make run practice. Wednesdays is strength and conditioning. Not a huge fan of yoga, so I may skip the Thursday yoga. Fridays, you know, I have Friday, Saturday, Sundays off, fortunate like that. So, like, we did the incline this last Friday. I'm going to try and do that every Friday. Just, you know, really every day I need to I need to stay active. I need to keep my adrenaline going, my endorphins going. It's just huge for me. You know, weekends, if I can get out, go camping with my friends, we're rock climbing or mountain biking, that's kind of what I'm doing.
Now, everybody in here is fit. I mean, we all look like we're in shape. Is there a diet philosophy that goes along with this? Or are you guys just working out all the time that you are, like, outburning a McDonald's and Taco Bell diet here.
Kaylee and I try to be really healthy and conscious about what we put in our bodies. Not a lot of processed foods and things like that. But at Phoenix Multisport, a lot of people have a lot of body imagery issues. There's some, eating disorders can go hand in hand with addiction. So really our motto is just food is good, and we try to eat healthy and fuel the body as best we can.
Easy enough.
I eat just about everything I can. I'm not a huge fan of fast food. I've never really liked it. But I will eat a lot of food.
It's true.
Yeah. Drew and I can throw down on some food as well.
Uh-huh. All those tasty goodies, we won't get into that. Now, we'll wrap it up here, and we want to talk about, obviously, how people can get involved, and then the different, the requirements, there's a few stipulations to it. But first, I just want to go real quickly around the room and talk about something that was paramount in your journey towards health and fitness, maybe a little tip or trick that you learned. Mine was focusing on form. Like, why am I doing that movement? I am doing a push-up because I want to get a stronger chest, so I don't let my hips droop. I really focus on why I'm doing the movement. I just don't go in there to crank it out. So that would be my big tip. Why are you doing the movement? Focus on your form.
I guess my big tip would probably be get a buddy or a group workout or something like that. I know that my 7 a.m. workouts, I have a couple of people coming down to the gym to meet me. If they weren't coming down to meet me, it's really easy to skip that workout. On days where I'm not feeling very motivated, they walk in very motivated, and that helps me push myself. So I try to find someone to work out with would be my big one.
For me, it's a reminder to start small. It's okay wherever you're starting out. If that means you're walking a mile, great. Keep doing it. It'll get easier. It'll get better. And if you're like me and you're coming into workout with some pretty severe injuries, they don't need to hold you back. Start small. Do what feels right. And be encouraged. It gets easier.
I like to just push myself. I like to see how far, where was my last workout? Can I get beyond that? I just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I don't ever want my body to let me down. Mm-hmm. My mind says I can do anything. And so I want my body to be able to respond to that. And it hasn't let me down to this point. So I just like to push myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to go too, huh? there's so many tips out there. But I'm really a big fan of the food portion, and I see a lot of people, especially like on social media, kind of treating food as a bad thing. I see a lot of if you eat this, then you need to do cardio for 90 minutes or whatever to burn it off, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I think that my tip would be to treat food as a good thing, and respect the food, and don't use it as a punishment. And definitely don't use exercise as a punishment if you do eat food, because then you create this bad relationship with exercise.
Yeah, I've seen that meme. It's like one hamburger equals 2 miles of running. Yeah. But now let's talk about how we can get involved with Phoenix Group and what the requirements are.
So the best way to get involved with Phoenix Multisport is to go on our website, phoenixmultisport.org. That's also where you can donate. And if you go on there and you look at the calendar of events, it helps if you filter out what city you're in. So if you're in Colorado Springs, filter out Colorado Springs. Pick the event that you're most interested in attending. Show up about 15 minutes early. When you get there, you'll meet the instructor, and they'll have a little bit of paperwork for you to do, just like liability waivers, that kind of typical thing, some surveys. And then you're all set. We'll have all the equipment, everything you need there. The event will be free. The requirement is 48 hours clean and sober, commitment to a sober lifestyle. And of course, everybody that attends will sign what we call the team member agreement. And it just states things like, you're just going to treat everybody with respect. Be safe, that you, respect the 48 hours clean and sober, commitment to a sober lifestyle, and just some different pretty common sense things like that.
And are you allowed to bring a family member or something?
Absolutely. We have the family program. Jeff is pretty involved in the family program. Together Families Recover. And you can bring anybody you have a close personal relationship with. So it could be a family member. It could be a significant other. It could be a long childhood friend. We don't really define it too closely. There's an additional survey involved, and then you're all set.
I think the idea is don't abuse what you guys are trying to do here by just bringing a bunch of people to get free CrossFit workouts.
Exactly.
Yeah, respect what you guys are about, and that's easy enough to do. So again, what's the website? You guys have Facebook, Twitter, that stuff too?
Yep, phoenixmultisport.org is our website. If you put a Google in, search engine, Phoenix Multisport, it pops right up. And then, yes, we have a Facebook page. We have, I believe we have Instagram. I'm sure we're on Twitter too, but I don't know for sure.
Just make it easy. It's phoenixmultisport.org.
Correct.
And then you can look for Colorado Springs there. And we've still got just a minute here, and I want to know, and I have my own guess, but what does the name come from?
Rising from the ashes. It's a mythical bird, you know, just going, burning up, going through adversity, and then arising from that. Our motto is Per Ignem Ad Astra, which is Latin, from out of the fire and into the stars.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
That's good.
It's good stuff.
We've all heard of that, the Phoenix rising from the ashes. Mm-hmm. I think that was an X-Men too, right? Phoenix,
I'm
one of
Harry
the
Potter myself.
Oh, that's fun stuff. So I encourage you to go check them out. And again, I will make it easy to find all of the links to the resources here under 10fitness.com/Phoenix. That's PHOENIX. All the resources will be there for you to find how to get involved. Again, I want to thank everybody for coming into the studio. And
thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. Pleasure.
Thank you for sharing that personal side of your story. It's inspiring.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's all the time that we have. Again, we've got those tickets to give away. If you want to go to Fitness on the Rocks, that's Saturday, July 9th. It's an all-day thing. You got to get there between 7:30 and 11 to get all registered, and then they let you loose. You go run around on the big obstacle course, slide down a water slide, check out the vendors. They're going to have samples there. Remember that sample you brought home, Brittany, of those potato chips, protein chips?
Oh, yeah, protein chips? Oh, yeah. They were so good.
Do you remember who made those?
I do. Maybe.
You do? No.
It's one of those big ones.
Quest?
Yeah, it was Quest.
Yeah. Those things were very delicious, low-carb protein chips. And anybody knows, bodybuilders know, that if you're trying to cut carbs, you can't have chips. And you just miss that satisfying crunch
right.
of a potato chip. There's just tons of great stuff there. There's going to be a bunch of different workouts that you can do. You can do a total body blast. I imagine that's some type of high intensity interval training. Then you can do mile on the rocks run. You can do yoga. And there's Zumba. There's Pilates. There's a body combat. That sounds interesting. Tug of war. And then to finish it off, there's a big water fight. So I imagine there will be water balloons and squirt guns. Anyways, if you want those tickets, just like us on Facebook and say, yo, give me those tickets.
Cool.
It is that easy. I got two pairs of tickets to give away to you and a buddy. And that's all we have. We'll see you next week.
And as always,
remember,
stay motivated.
Everything discussed on this show can be found at under10fitness.com. That's under TEN fitness.com.